Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year and a celebration of the beginning of creation, and is one of God's ways to help you mentally, psychologically, spiritually make a fresh start. This is the real New Year, if you will. And this is a good night for you to confess your sins and to repent and get your heart right with God. I cannot think of a better night to humble yourself, to pray, to seek God's face, to turn from your wicked ways, to repent, and to get back to Jesus Christ, your first love, for those of you who are saved. So while we are getting some a few other things ready, and get your heart ready for communion. Confess your sins, confess your faults, confess your failures before we take communion on this Rosh Hashanah holiday. Thousands of our Messianic Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ are celebrating this holiday, and we have been grafted in, and God has given us the liberty to celebrate this holiday as well. And we have done it for many years. I cannot recall if we have done it publicly. And but God has laid it upon my heart to share with you a little bit tonight. So let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we come before your throne of grace, and we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Thank you for creating the world. Thank you for creating us because you wanted to fellowship with us for real. That's why you did not make us robots, but you made us free moral agents. You gave us the ability to choose, and to love you back, because you first loved us. And at the same time, Lord, we could choose to go the other way. So you wanted, when you created us, real fellowship. And we thank you for creating us. However, Lord, we have fallen short of your holy standard. And we, even as your believing children, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please have mercy and grace upon us this evening. And please forgive us, Lord, of our sins, our faults, and our failures. And Lord, I pray that you would wash and cleanse our hearts and minds, souls and spirits and consciences in the precious blood of Christ. Forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us. and fill us, Lord, afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, make us whiter than snow on the inside through the blood of Christ, afresh and anew. And deliver us from temptation, evil, and sin for the remainder of this evening and for the remainder of our lives. Grant us, Lord, your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right and to live right and to think right and to do right and to do that which is pleasing in your sight. Lord, help us not to just confess our sin so that we can take communion with a clear conscience, if that is even possible. But Lord, help us to truly humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways and repent and get back to you, our first love. And Lord, I pray that you would indeed cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness out of the lives of people who are here. Cast out the Judas spirit, cast out the Jezebel spirit, cast out the Sanballat and Tobias spirit, and remove it completely. Lord, I believe that you will, because at least one day, out of the lives of some of the people, because I believe your holy word that says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that you will save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, grant us fresh unction and anointing, freedom and liberty of your Holy Spirit as we go through three different things here tonight. And Lord, help everybody here, everybody out there who's taking communion with us, Lord, to truly not take it unworthily, but to truly get their hearts right with you. Glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, Jesus Christ, for it is in your name we do pray, and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, on the same night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas, and sad to say, there are many Judases in the world. That demonic spirit of Judas has multiplied and metastasized in the church and in the world. The spirit of betrayal, someone close, instead of helping you, choosing to stab you in the back and to hurt you. God had that experience. Jesus had that experience. David had that experience. Joseph had that experience. And we, many of us, have that experience today. So that is a reality. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And let's pray. Holy Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you for your life, your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Thank you for choosing to allow your body to be broken for us. And the sad thing is, Lord, hardly any of us truly, fully understand and know all that you did for us and all that you went through for us. But Lord God in heaven, by faith we need, and we should believe it, and we should act accordingly. And as we are having this special communion tonight on the wonderful Jewish holiday of Rosh Hashanah, Lord, we individually, as believers, hopefully everybody will, and collectively, hopefully, we confess our wicked, evil, and ungodly sins and ways. Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins. And help us, Lord, to repent of our sins, and help us to turn from our evil ways. Cleanse our hearts and minds, souls, spirits, and consciences in the precious blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow. On the inside, Lord, have it to be so that not one person would take communion if they're living in sin, if they are unwilling to confess their sins and repent, so that they will not take this, the Lord's Supper, unworthily. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 58 says, "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." Ladies and gentlemen, in the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." As I shared in our regular communion is not just about remembering the first time Jesus Christ came, his suffering, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, but we're looking forward to his second coming as well, and the rapture itself could take place tonight. And the question is, are you ready? Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in this special Rosh Hashanah communion, in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you so much for your precious blood that was shed on the cross for our sins, that has cleansed our sins away, has taken away our sins, according to John the Baptist. And we thank you so much for your holy and precious blood, for as the songwriter said, it shall never lose its power. And that is so true. Because even since we have been saved, for those of us who are truly born again, we have had to come back quite often to confess our sins to you, that we have committed even as Christians. And your holy blood has never lost its power. And Lord, we thank you for shedding your blood for our sins so that we could go free, even though we don't deserve it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Hebrews 9:22 says, "In almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Take and drink." In the back, you need to move back. Move straight back. After they had finished the first supper, they sang a hymn and went out into the night. Ladies and gentlemen, before I share the gospel with you, allow me to share. All the way, this way. All the way, there you go, that's good. A few thoughts with you regarding Rosh Hashanah. Thank you. Rosh Hashanah is about, on a personal level, about a fresh start. It's about confessing sin and repenting, getting right with God, and starting afresh and anew. Turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 23. This is where the holy day of Rosh Hashanah is talked about. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23 through 25. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And then I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 8 through 11. "Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." In other words, don't fool yourself. "The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, if you are a born-again Christian, your life ought to be characterized by righteousness, not unrighteousness. And this ought to be something that comes up out of you. You don't have to force it. It's because of Jesus Christ living inside of you. You don't do righteousness to get saved. You do righteousness because you are saved. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that's homosexuals, lesbians, LGBTQ, XYZ, and everybody else, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, that is in the blood, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and during this magnificent holiday of Rosh Hashanah, 3 full days of celebrating creation, celebrating the new year, celebrating fresh starts, which includes for those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, confession of sin, repentance of foolishness, turning away from hatred, bitterness, resentment, bad attitudes, causing others to push us to do evil that they didn't even do themselves because they know better. Rebelliousness, pride, stubbornness, witchcraft, all ungodliness of thought, word, and deed, all uncleanness in activity. Lord, help people to realize tonight from your holy word that they can have a new beginning even if they have been born again. And they can definitely have a new beginning if they've never been born again. They can be saved tonight. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the power of your Holy Spirit would move upon in a very real sense in this period, in this time, in this recognition of new beginnings and a fresh start. And Lord, a heavy conviction that comes down from you. Lord, we know because we're all free moral agents that these people can shake you off, because they have. They do it every day. But Lord, I pray that they would submit and not try to shake you off this time. Help them to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. For some people in your church, repentance would explode out of them by just telling the truth and stop living a lie, stop being a hypocrite, stop being two-faced, talking out of both sides of their mouths. Holy Father God, we pray, Lord, tonight that you'd cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas and betrayal and Jezebel and rebelliousness and Sanballat and Tobias and hindrance out of the hearts and minds and lives of the people here tonight and out there tonight. Realize that this is for them. This chastisement is for them. They're not exempt. Lord, I am afraid and fooled by false prosperity gospel doctrine and teaching and preaching that somehow we can't be touched with chastisement and rebuke and punishment, which we desperately need, because we, like the Laodicean church, we think that we're all that rich and having need of nothing, not even of you. And Lord, we know that that's not true. So Lord, break the band of wickedness in the lives of the people here and out there, and save those who are lost, and truly revive those of us who are saved, and those who have wasted years in sin, pride, stubbornness, and rebelliousness, and those who have wasted valuable time doing evil and not doing good and doing what they're supposed to do. Have this Jewish New Year celebration be the time they turn it around for good in their souls, in their hearts, and in their minds, and in their spirits, and forever. For your glory, praise, and honor, and for the glory, praise, and honor of Jesus Christ. Crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and they spend their lives, type B people spend their lives trying to bring down type A people, criticizing type A people. They have an indomitable spirit. They've been blessed with that, type A people. They can lock in on a goal and they don't care what is in the way. They're going to knock it down, push it aside, and they're going to get it done. Everybody's different. And by the way, we see this played out in our society, in our nation, in our politics. A lot of the problems and issues and differences come from that, the type A thing and the type B thing. But whatever the case, whether you are type A or type B, you have to get on with life. You can't stay stuck for one day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, and on, because it will become something that will continue if you don't stop it. And you've got to stop looking for other people to come and deliver you. You need to at least start setting little goals. Take one course or two. Pass those and then move on. Do something. Don't let your natural inclinations control you. Rosh Hashanah is about leaving the past behind and starting all over again and for many of you, finishing what you started. One of the things that I am big on in my own personal life, and that I have tried to instill in my children, finish what you start. Don't jump from one thing to the other, and you have not finished what you have started, because you have gotten discouraged, defeated. You're envious of other people moving on, changes, and so forth. And I cannot think of a better time to leave all of that stinking thinking behind and start afresh and anew. That if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, that next year this time you would have accomplished significant goals, because you're putting the other foot in front of the other and you're moving on down the road, little by little, by the grace of God. I have shared this before, and I'll just touch on it here. Some people can grasp this and they run with it. Some people struggle with the matter of time and effort. They want everything right now. They want everything to be easy. They want everything done. They want their four-year degree in 1 week. It doesn't work that way in life. They want the top job in a month. They just got hired on. They want to be the supervisor. It doesn't work that way in life. You've got to pay your dues, as they say. You've got to pray hard. You've got to think hard. You've got to work hard. But let me help you. Time is involved with all of that. And I feel sorry for people who feel sorry that they don't understand the power and the blessing of being able to enjoy the process and not just the destination. I don't like being around people like that. Do you? They're smiling from ear to ear and grinning from ear to ear at the graduation ceremony, but mad as the devil, mean as the devil, cantankerous, never enjoyed one day of the 4-year process or 5-year process because it took them longer. The pain of it, the difficulty of it, even the failure in it. I thank God I never failed any classes. I would have failed one in college if it had not been for my daughter, Danny. That's a fact. Algebra. She helped me as a little girl. My wife was bragging and saying how much she knew about algebra, and she was a master of algebra. She didn't help me a bit. My little girl, Danny, came through and helped me. And I passed that class by the grace of God with my daughter's help. But I know some who have failed class. That's got to be a devastating thing, to go through a semester and then you fail. It's hard to get back up, but you need to get back on the horse. You've got to move on. This is your fresh start, the celebration of Rosh Hashanah. You got to make it up in your mind that you're going to get on with the program, whatever the program is. David Weatherford said, when faced with a challenge, look for a way, not a way out. See, Now, for those of us who have the type A gift, that's our default mode, to find a way. That's just how we roll. For type B, type C, type D people, not so much. They like to find a way out. And I want to encourage you in this beautiful Rosh Hashanah holiday experience of a fresh start, as one preacher called it, find a way. In your marriage, find a way. In your family, find a way. In your college life, find a way. In your school life, find a way. In your tribulations and troubles and trials and testings, find a way by the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And always remember, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you. I cannot emphasize enough to you that your way is through prayer. Heidi Johnson said, always concentrate on how far you have come. How about that? Rather than how far you have left to go. And be thankful to God for that. Because if God got you to the 50-yard line, he can get you to the goal line. 50 more yards. Have faith in God, Jesus said. Lucas Helmer said, aim not for what you are, but for what you could be. How about that? Somebody else said, be yourself. An original is always worth more than a copy. Lauren Fisher said, the difference between holding on to a hurt or releasing it with forgiveness is like the difference between laying your head down at night on a pillow filled with thorns or a pillow filled with rose petals. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as we move on, this is a new start for you. Stop looking down. Stop being depressed. Stop being bitter. Stop being envious. There's some of you right now, you're mad at God because of this plague that is sitting down on you. Have you ever heard of the little phrase, when you get lemons, make lemonade? See, that's the way you ought to be thinking. What is it that God wants you to learn during this time of the plague? Does God want you to become a better husband? A better wife? That's why you're stuck at home. Does God want with them? Does God want you to be a better young adult or teenager or child? This is your time to change, to start afresh. Don't get bitter, get better. Now, Rosh Hashanah means literally head of the year. Head of the year. The first day of Tishrei, Leviticus 16:24, in the seventh month, on the first of the month, there shall be a Sabbath for you, a remembrance with shofar blasts. a holy convocation. Judaism has several different New Years, if you will. Consider, here in the U.S., we have the New Year in January. The school year starts in August, and businesses have fiscal years that start at various times of the year, oftentimes in October. In Judaism, Nisan 1 is the New Year for the purpose of counting the reign of kings and months on the calendar. Elul 1 in August is the New Year for the tithing of animals. Shivat 15 in February is the New Year for trees, determining when first fruits can be eaten, etc. Tishrei the first, Rosh Hashanah, is the New Year for years, when they increase the year number. If you will, it is the January New Year's for us. It's the big one. It's the main one. Sabbatical and Jubilee years begin at this time. The name Rosh Hashanah is not used in the Bible. The Bible refers to the holy day as Yom HaZikaron, the day of remembrance. And let me just pause there on that word remembrance. I have shared this with you before, and I'm going to say it again. God is big on remembrance. We are not. See, isn't it amazing that the person, the being that is good is big on remembrance, but people who are evil, we're not big on remembrance. Do you know that there are some parents, there are some mothers, there are some fathers who can't look back because they failed as a father, they failed as a mother? They have no fond memories. If you don't mind, get Precious Memories tuned up for me, please, for at the end, and remind me to sing. You know why? And I want to help you now, because see, especially you young couples, you better watch what you do and watch what you say and watch how you act towards your children and towards each other. Because if you're not careful, you will be that kind of husband, that kind of wife, that kind of parent, where you don't have any precious memories. God is big on remembrance because God is good. We're not big on remembrance because we're not good. Even in our world, the person who is offended has a great memory. The person who has offended does not. Isn't that how it is? People who owe you money, you remember them and every detail and the day you gave them the money and the lies and the promises they said that they were going to pay you back. Whose money? They don't remember anything. Why? But I have something I want to tell you that hopefully will help you and save your life from bad memories. When you get to a certain age, you hear me and you hear me well, and your children are grown up, you can't go back. See, we have parents today trying to go back, trying to control their children now, and they're grown and on their own, and they ain't hearing it. You know why? Because you were too busy for them when they were growing up. And you had no idea it was going to 18 years, 19, 20 years was going to go by so fast. So you don't have any memories to draw on because you did not create any memories with those children. And they will be your greatest source of memories. You don't need videos if you have memories. Pictures don't mean anything when you have memories stored up in your heart, your mind, your soul, and spirit, precious memories. God is big on remembrance. We are not, because we're not good. And those parents who did not leave it all on the field for their children, they're not big on remembrance. They don't want to remember anything. I know people like this. Not only do they not want to remember anything, they can't remember some things. You know why? They block it out. But see, people who by the grace of God have lived a good life, they have memories so vivid there's not a video or a movie or streaming or anything can touch it. Because God has, he puts those memories in you, and they just grow and come at all different times, and you feast on them. You have an internal feast of great memories. And I'm here to tell you there's nothing like it on God's green earth. Because those memories are memories that he was a part of, that he created, because you walk by faith and not by sight. My point is, when you get to a certain age and your children are at a certain age, and even with your marriage, you can't go back and do it over, so you better do it right the first time. Do you hear me? You better do this thing right the first time, because I'm here to tell you, it's going to be hellacious if you don't. The end of your life is going to be terrible, miserable, sad, dark, and cold, and pitiful. Because you will not have any precious memories. Rosh Hashanah, ladies and gentlemen, is 10 days before Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Rosh Hashanah is instituted in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 24 and 25. I've already read it to you. Greeting La Shana Tova, for have a good year. May I say that to you tonight. Have a good year. Let not this year be another failed year. Have you noticed how fast the years go by? Some of you right now are burdened down with guilt. You're burdened down with defeat and failure. Because you can't believe that Rosh Hashanah, this new year, has come upon us again, and you have done nothing to advance yourself. You have done nothing to move the ball forward, as I say. And if you don't, and see, you can't worry about the wasted years. You got to get on the good foot and get to moving. Do something. Make progress somehow in your life. Depending on what your age is and what goals you have, if you have any, objectives you have, if you have any. Are you still the same mean old wretch you were last year this time? And for the last 10 years, last 15 years? There's something wrong somewhere. If you're not growing and if you're not changing, and you're not becoming, and I'm talking to people who are supposed to be born again, you're not becoming more pleasant easily entreated, more lovable and more loving. On Rosh Hashanah, one of the observances is sounding the shofar, that is the ram's horn trumpet. 100 notes are sounded each day for 3 days. There are 4 different types of shofar notes. A 3-second sustained note followed by a 3 1-second note rising in tone, then a series of short staccato notes extending over a period of about 3 seconds, and a final blast which lasts at least 10 seconds as a minimum. What's that guy's name? I need that. I can give him a little credit. Don't worry about that. Just focus on that. The shofar sound is a call, watch this, to repentance. This is the thing that most of us who claim to be followers of God and followers of Christ, we don't want to do, repent. Most people don't have a problem with humbling themselves. Some do. Praying, seeking God's face, but turning from their wicked ways, oh boy, that's a big one. That's a problem right there for most people. See, and that's the problem in your family. That's the problem in why you're stuck in life. Because you're proud, you're not praying, you're not seeking God's face, and you refuse to turn from your wicked ways. And just remember now, it is the job of the prophet, of the preacher, to warn you and to tell you to turn, to repent, to turn from your wicked ways. That's all he can do. It's up to you whether or not you're going to do that. And some people come close, and then they leave the church house or go out of the service, and they cool down from that hot point of repentance, and they never do it. And guess what happens? If you don't repent, your life will never change. One motivator, motivational speaker said, if you keep on doing what you're doing, you're going to keep on getting what you're getting. You must change. And you have to humble yourself to change. And some people are so demonically proud, I call it pharaohistic style pride, that they refuse to humble themselves, they refuse to confess their sins, they refuse to stop perpetuating lies, they refuse to pray as they should, they refuse to seek God's face, they refuse to turn from their wicked ways. And guess what? Next year, this time, during Rosh Hashanah, they'll be in the same old stuck spot. And we're not talking about geographically, we're talking about spiritually, mentally, psychologically, goal-wise. What are some of the customs Dr. Samuel Farquharson brings out? One of the customs which we participated in this morning is dipping apples in honey, and what a delight. Now you would think we'll do that every year, since we have learned to do that some 8 years ago. It tastes so good. I can't say that it would be the best thing to do every day, but it tastes so good, especially if you get the right kind of apples, like my daughter Daniqua bought yesterday. I mean, you got to have the right kind of apple. You can't get these cheap apples. You got to get the apples, man, that melt in your mouth. Apples, organic apples. And buddy, that was a good little breakfast this morning, and I enjoyed it. Casting off sins, the purpose of the apples and the honey is casting off sins into a river. Apples, honey, signifying the sweetness of a new start. Are you experiencing the sweetness of a new start? And a new start is sweet. And you know who grants that? God Almighty. God knows how much you have sinned in the previous year. God knows how evil you have been, how intentionally wicked you have been, how that you've chosen to have a bad attitude and to try to manipulate people with it, and all such foolishness. But he gives you an opportunity for a fresh start. Tashlika means casting off. Walk to flowing water and empty out pockets into the river, symbolically casting off our sins. Cast off your sins. Once you go down by the creek, do as the Jews do, and empty out your pockets and shake everything out, all the trash, all the lint, everything, as a symbol that you're casting off your sins, your wickedness, your pride, your stubbornness, your rebelliousness, your meanness. In the husband's case, you're not loving your wife. In the wife's case, not submitting to your husband. Leave it behind. Because see, if you don't take care of that right there, if you don't get the marriage relationship right with your spouse, nothing else is going to work out for you, because God is not going to bless you, because God's not going to hear your prayers. Read 1 Peter. I believe chapter 3. We're going through it right now. Your prayers will go unanswered. There's no need in you getting mad at your husband or your wife or your children or the dog. Understand, this is something God wants you to do. He wants you to be what you should be in the home and cut the foolishness. And by the way, most of your sins probably have to do with the home, not with people on the job and at the church. You're a good fake, and you're a good phony around other people. You lying hypocrite. Don't get me started here tonight, people. I'm trying to be nice. Oh, you're nice and sweet, and you smile around the folks at the church and the folks at the grocery store and the people on the job. You lying hypocrite. You lie, your feet ain't made, and your heart pumps peanut butter. It's disgusting. But you can't smile at your husband. You can't smile at your wife. You can tell everybody in church, I love you now. You know I love you. And I come on, give me a hug. You haven't hugged your wife in 17 years. You haven't hugged your husband in 18 years. But you can hug everybody else. You can act so nice and sweet and be so pleasant around others, but not your family. I think we have forgotten the old saying from the old saints and the old folks. Charity begins at home, baby. Mm-hmm. We need some old mamas back in the church. We don't kick them out to the to the nursing home. We need them back in the church. And Cadell said, just like that, looking at you. Yeah, you all loving right here and around here with all these other women and men and everything else, but you're not loving towards your wife and husband at home. Charity begins at home, baby. Okay, that's how they said it. Yeah, you love everybody else, but you don't love your father, you don't love your mother, you don't love your wife, you don't love your husband, you don't love your own children. You always want to take care of everybody else's children, trying to get close to somebody in that marriage. You devil. You think their children are so cute, and you want to take them with you here and there, you lying devil. I'm telling you the truth. You ought to quit. Stop being a hypocrite and a phony and a fake. You're the Adams family at home and the Brady Bunch at church. And that's, and it's all, watch it now, watch out. It's all falling apart. It's all falling apart under the plague. All that hypocrisy. All of those lies. And my sweet thing this. My honey bunch this. She's my this and he's my that. And on Twitter, you can't say that you are a man of God and a pastor, preacher or whatever. You got to say, I am Sue's husband. I am Bobby's father. Get the heck out of here with that mess. You're trying to show people that you're such a great husband and father because you heard somebody else say this. They may have meant it. You making it up. Trying to appear to be so sweet and wonderful in your marriage and family, and you're probably, the more you do that, shows us you're probably a devil and a hypocrite. I told you, I'm trying to be nice. This is supposed to be a nice, sweet little message and a nice, sweet little sermon. Cast off your sins and cast off your hypocrisy while you're doing it. Small pieces of bread are commonly put in the pocket to be cast off. Ladies and gentlemen, Rosh Hashanah is a time to begin introspection, looking back at the mistakes of the past so that you can learn from them past year, and so that you will not repeat them. Looking forward, planning changes for a new year so that you can be a new you. So that next year this time, if God gives you the grace and the privilege of seeing Rosh Hashanah next year, you will be a different person. You will be on top of things. You would have accomplished 17 things or 21 things that you wanted to accomplish. You'll have that job that you wanted, because you're going to work like it's nobody's business to get that job. You're going to move on with your life. You'll be married by next year this time. Rosh Hashanah is called, Rosh Hashanah, rather, is a call to a fresh start, a new beginning. It is a call to repentance in your life. Repentance is a willful choice. Watch this now. Here's the money shot. Here's the money shot. If you don't get anything else, get this. Repentance is a willful choice to change. Yes, God will help you, but God's not going to make you change, man. You still have a will. And the reason why you're not happy is because you don't want to be happy. That comes from, by the way, a Jewish man. The reason why you're not happy is because you don't want to be happy. The reason why you don't have any joy is because you don't want joy. You love being sinful and miserable. So Rosh Hashanah is a call to repentance, a call to change. Repentance is a willful choice to change, a chance to do things different. That means going forward into this new year, don't do the same old mess you've been doing. Stop it. Ask yourself, has it benefited you? Has it helped you? Your bad attitude, did it help you? Your manipulation, trying to manipulate people through your bad attitude, has it helped you? Has it gotten you anywhere? No, the answer is no. It's a rhetorical question. So stop doing it. You're trying to control your husband. Has it gotten you anywhere? No. So stop doing it. Being nasty, having a bad attitude, being hateful, being mean, has it helped you? No. Then repent and stop doing that. Become a new person in Christ. It's a new start, a fresh start. It's a time to do things different, to be different. It's a new start, a fresh start. Get on with it. Get on with your life. I tell my children all of the time, do great things for God. Life is not worth living if you're not attempting great things for God. Use the talent. But here's the thing. You need to remember, you already have what it takes to change and to do something great for the glory of God and with your life. And if you would apply yourself instead of listening to the devil and listening to other devilish people, if you would apply yourself, you could accomplish it, really, some things in one day, some in 1 week, some in 1 month. So whatever your talent is, whatever your gift is, focus on that. Like the person said earlier in this message, how that you need to focus on your strengths and your weaknesses will come along. How about it, dear friend? Is this going to be a happy Rosh Hashanah for you? Is this going to be a new start and a fresh start for you? And please don't do like so many. They start out different. They do things different. They think differently. Or they think different for about a week and then they go right on back into the same old ways. And what I think some of these people need to get out of their minds is stop trying to impress people or to affect people and focus on your relationship to God and be the original you that God wants you to be. And use the gifts and talents that he's given you to turn the world upside down. Because our God can turn your life around in a moment of time if you let him. Now, dear friend, my question to you tonight is, do you know him? Do you know Jesus Christ? In the free pardon of all of your sins. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? This will be a happy Rosh Hashanah for you if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's how you can be saved from the power of sin and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell, and have a home in heaven when you die. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned against God. We all have come short of His holy standard and glory. We all have failed God. We all have disappointed God with our sins. And I am the chief of sinners. So don't think that you're alone. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. As I speak, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. For Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. In fact, he preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Why? Because hell is a real place, just like New York City is a place. And if you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will go to this awful place called hell, a place of torment. Jesus Christ, when he was describing the pain in hell, he said, it is a place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He also said in another place that it is a place where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. So hell is bad news. And one of the main reasons why it is bad news is because, to me, the saddest aspect of hell, dear friend, is that if you go there, you will never get out. No second chance. No limbo, no purgatory. There's no such thing. Hell is final. Someone said, all who enter here, abandon all hope. Abandon all hope, all ye who enter here. Because it's over. No more God, no more Jesus for you, no more gospel, no more church invitations. It's over. So hell is bad news, very much so. But dear friend, I have some good news for you. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. God loves you. He sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for your sins, to suffer, to bleed, and to die for your sins. He died and was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. So, dear friend, believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell forever in torment. Saved to what? Saved to heaven to be with God and with Jesus Christ, the angels and the saints, and to live in holy bliss and peace and joy forever. It'll be cool in heaven and comfortable in heaven. Extremely hot in hell. It's your choice. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou you shall be saved. Do that today in your heart. And I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Calling on the Lord for salvation. Follow me in prayer phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. And he will save your soul. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have broken your Ten Commandments by taking your holy name in vain, by dishonoring and disobeying my parents, by lusting after people and things, by stealing things regardless of the cost or the value, by lying. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. For I have committed more than this. As I now believe with all of my heart in your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul from hell. Even though I deserve to go to hell, just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and to my spirit and save my soul. I receive you and I receive your free gift of salvation today. Thank you for saving my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life and help me to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your name, Lord Jesus, I do pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to conclude the service at that point. If you have any questions and you need any more information, go to gospellightsociety.com and you'll find there everything you need to grow in the faith. Until next time, my beloved, may God bless you and may God keep you, is my prayer.